And I'll ask you to be seated as well. We'll have our men come forward, please, as we prepare to worship God this morning through our giving. Kurt, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be in church. Lord, thank you for your Son. Thank you for his truth. Thank you for the word. Thank you for his love. Lord, please with this offering, to spread your gospel throughout the world. In Jesus' name.
Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and open them to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me, please. All right, Romans chapter 12, if you look with me there at verse number 5, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." That's our main text for this morning as we consider the one another's in the New Testament, as we consider just what it is as a church we're supposed to be doing. And there's many of them throughout the New Testament. After World War II, there were a group of German students who volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that had been damaged during the war. As the work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue, a statue of Jesus, whose arms were outstretched. And beneath the statue was the inscription, "Come unto me." We can picture that in our minds, perhaps. But they had particular difficulty trying to rebuild the hands of the statue because they had been completely destroyed. And after a lot of discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing. And instead, they changed the inscription to say, "Christ has no hands but ours." And that's a picture here of this members one of another. The work of Christ in the world is in the hands of those who belong to Him. Think about it. Christ physically is not here. When he was able to preach. He was able to tell about sin and about the forgiveness of sins. He was able to tell about the blood that would be shed. He was able to work miracles to validate his message. But Christ is not here. He left. We're familiar with Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." What we call the Great Commission. The last thing that God gave His disciples to do before He left, ultimately to the church. And because you are the church, that is your commission. That is God's will for your life right there to do that. The work of Christ is placed into our hands to do that work. But how can the church, who is this collection of people from a variety of backgrounds, varying walks of life, how can they do the job that God has called us to do? Over and over again, the New Testament writers, they exhorted believers to engage in specific activities and in specific attitudes in order for the church to function as God created it to function. In order for it to function effectively and grow spiritually so that they would be healthy. There were these activities given to us. A word is used to describe this process. And in the Greek, the word is allelon. And it's usually translated into two English words, one another. It's used 58 times in the New Testament. 23 separate one another's that we find in God's Word. And this morning, I want us to take a look at this members one of another. In Romans, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, Paul uses the word body 30 times to illustrate the functioning of a church. And so God, in His wisdom, decides the body, our body, a physical body, is a good way to demonstrate how a church should function. Now, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to look at several passages there where Paul kind of breaks it down for us and gives us the specifics of how we are to function as a body. The concept of being members of a body is all explained in detail here. And the first thing we see is the body is made up of many different parts. Now, this is kind of an obvious one here as we look around the room here. 1 Corinthians 12:14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." There are a lot of us, and we're all different. Things. And on we go. This great diversity here. The point is this. God accepts all kinds of people into His kingdom, and He calls all kinds of people into His local church. Each of us has a unique contribution to make to our church. And we all add our own unique flavors to it. We should value everyone that God brings into this local body. Can I just say that again? We should value everyone. In case we miss it, let me explain it this way. Everyone that comes into our assembly, we need to place value on. They're valuable. You know, when you go into your garage, or maybe even my garage, okay, there are some things in our garages that we place value on. And so we have a place for them. There's a place for everything, and everything has its place. That's not my garage, okay? The place for everything is every place. That's my garage. But we have things that we have value, we place value on, and so we put them in a special place. And if they're not there, we notice it. Now, you could go into my garage, perhaps, and not find anything. I know, my wife's laughing. But I know where everything's at. The worst thing a guy can do is clean his garage. Because the very next day, he won't be able to find anything. But the things we have value on, we have a place for them. The things we don't value, they're just there. Or they're not there. We really don't know if they're there or not there. We could really care less if that empty pop bottle is there on the floor or not. A week later, we don't even notice it because we don't have any value on that. Everyone that God brings to this church as a saved individual, as a member of this church, God places a value on, and so should we. And we should know when they're not there or there, because we care. That's what placing a value on means. And so, number two, each member is vitally important to the whole body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 to 21, let's look at those verses one by one. in verse 15, it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore, or I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, the foot and the ear are not as visible as the hand and the eyes are on the body. So there's a good picture being drawn here for us. But Paul reminds us that the foot and the hand are no less important than the visible parts. The hand or the eye, the ear and the foot are just as important as those. Look at verse 17. It says, if the whole body were an eye, then where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, then where were the smelling? We understand that every part of our body has a unique function. And to do without of it, to do without it, requires us to make an adjustment. Each part of the body may be different in its role or in its function, but it is no less important. No one in this church is any less important than, say, someone who sings specials up here at the pulpit, someone who preaches, or someone who teaches. No one here is less important than the pastor or pastors. Hopefully we'll be plural here someday soon. But no one is less important. And I am no more important than any other member. Because we're all members one of another. We're all part of the same body. I was sharing with our young men this weekend at our campout how that God gave this great commission to not just the disciples and not just His church, but He gave it to each and every individual person. That is God's will for your life. What was the great commission? Okay, it was soul winning, evangelism, and discipling, basically. Evangelism and teaching in some capacity, helping others grow spiritually. My friends, those two things, God did not assign them to just the paid professionals within a local church. He assigned them to every one of us. And I helped them see from God's Word how the paid professionals, i.e. the pastors, their job is to mobilize, to manage, to train, to equip the body to do that job that God has given them to do, to evangelize and to help others grow spiritually. And so as a body, there is none of us that are more important than the other or less important. Look with me at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. God put the body together. God put Grace Baptist Church together, folks. Not me, not my predecessor or his predecessor or anyone else in this church. God built this body. Amen? What an awesome thought that is, too. God put you in this body as it pleased Him. It pleased God to put you in here. He wants you in this body to fulfill your commission to you, to evangelize and help others grow spiritually. Maybe you've never thought of it that way, but if you're a part of Grace Baptist Church, you are a special gift from God to us. Because it pleased Him to put you in here. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nor can the preacher say to a nursery worker, I have no need of you. First of all, that would be suicide. We always have a need in the nursery, okay? Nor can a children's church teacher say to a song director, I have no need of you. Nor can an usher say to someone who serves by preparing dinners for the church, nor can they say, I have no need of you. No, because we're all part of the body, and all of our contributions are necessary. They're needed to accomplish the larger task. In other words, folks, we all need each other. Now, we could apply that a couple of different ways. One, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know what I can do. There's nothing I can do. I haven't been saved that long, or I haven't been in this church that long. God gave you to this church to be a part, a functioning part of this body. We need you. You are a special gift to us. But we can also apply it another way, too. And I say this graciously, but just because we reach a certain age doesn't mean we're done in the body. We need you. You are still God's special gift to us to help this body function as He wants it to. See, it's easy for us to think sometimes, we'll sit there and think, well, the church is running good. Okay. There's no one, you know, working in the nursery 4 or 5 weeks in a row by themselves. So the nursery's well stocked with workers. The kids programs, those are well manned. It seems to be everything's going good. And the finances look great. And praise the Lord for that. I guess they don't need me right now. See, the problem with that is we look at the church and we evaluate it based on how we think it should function. And if it's functioning the way we think it should be, okay, they don't need me. No, God gave you to this church so it could function the way He wants it to function, which may be more than what we're doing now, which may be in different areas from where we're at now. God gave you as a special gift to this body. We are members one of another. Number three, no member is more or less important than another member. And we see that there in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 22. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. What's Paul saying here? When we use the analogy of the body, the expressive parts of the body, the mouth, the eyes, the hands, even the feet, and so on, the outwardly visible, the expressive parts usually are the first things that come to mind. But the hidden parts of our body, our bones, our ligaments, our muscles, our glands, our internal organs, those are just as vital for a healthy body. And if you don't believe me, ask those who have had knee replacements how vital those parts are. Those are just as vital for a healthy body as the expressive visible ones. In fact, expressive ones, the expressive parts, in most cases, rely on the hidden parts. It is so easy, folks, to just honor those who can preach, teach, sing, and play an instrument. Those expressive gifts. But the nursery workers, the toilet cleaners, the fellowship organizers, the decorators, the fixers, the landscapers. These are the behind the scenes workers. And yet they are just as important and vital to the work of God. Now, I want you to think about something. in a fraction of a second, the marrow in your bones produces over 100,000 red blood cells. You never see the marrow of your bones, but you couldn't live without it. And you couldn't live without its vital function, producing those red blood cells. If you're an adult of average weight, here's just a sampling of what some of your body parts accomplish in a 24-hour period. Those things we don't see or think about. Your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles in a 24-hour period. Your lungs breathe 23,040 times. You move 750 muscles. Your nails grow about 4,600 thousandths of an inch. I measured it one time. That's how I know. Your hair grows almost 2/100 of an inch. Your brain exercises 7 million brain cells in a 24-hour period. All that's going on behind the scenes, and you could not do without it. All of these little parts of the body, these less visible parts, are absolutely vital to the whole body. Folks, we're all important, no matter what we do in this body. And praise God for the hidden parts of the body, the behind-the-scenes people, the quiet, the unassuming workers, the ones who willingly do the dirty work. You know, when we spill at a fellowship dinner and we just walk away and someone magically cleans it up for us. Those people. The ones who work for God alone are so vital to the functioning of this body. Let's consider something else. The body, as we see here in 1 Corinthians 12, should be united. Verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Suppose your eye wanted to go one way, but your feet wanted to go the other way. Suppose you're walking down the hallway and one leg wants to go one direction and the other leg wants to go another direction. Okay? Well, maybe some can do that. Most can't. They end up falling. It just doesn't work unless they're working in conjunction with one another. We'd be a mess if that didn't happen that way, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be able to function. In verse 25 and verse 26, Paul says that we're to be united and working together. If one member of this body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. And I think, well, now wait a minute. I don't think that works that way, because I know someone that's suffering, and I haven't thought about them since I read them on the prayer list. When one suffers, the whole body suffers. Here's what that means. Here's what it looks like. When there's a member of our church that's suffering, the whole body goes into action to help with that suffering. For instance, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, the whole body sympathizes with my thumb. Okay? And some of you may be smiling at the thought of me hitting my thumb with a hammer. But my body sympathizes with me, okay? And it goes into action to aid it. It doesn't just sit there and think, oh, poor thumb. Oh, wow, that must hurt. No, the whole body mobilizes to help with that pain. The other hand, what does it do? You smash your thumb with a hammer. What does this hand do? No. It's like this. The other hand mobilizes to hold that thumb, to aid it, to alleviate the pain. The heart starts pumping faster. Blood rushes to the thumb that's in pain. The feet, maybe, perhaps, jump up and down in sympathy to the thumb that's aching. The mouth yells Christian words, expressing the thumb's pain. That's exactly what should happen in this body, in our church today. When someone is in serious pain, we should all join in sympathy and love to help and comfort the hurting member of the body. Now, how many of y'all have ever hit your thumb with a hammer before? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm not going to make you stand up. Okay, hands down. How many of you have hit your thumb more than once with a hammer? Just about everybody that raised their hand the first time. Okay, so can you imagine you hit your thumb with a hammer, okay, because your thumb was in the way. Your thumb didn't pull back before the pain came. And so it got hit with a hammer. And you grabbed it and you danced up and down and you yelled Christian words, okay, to sympathize. And then you turn around and you did it again. The same day, the same project, maybe within 5 minutes. I've done that. And you know what? When that happened, you know what the rest of my body did? The rest of my body just looked at it. Dumb thumb. He should have known better. Oh, yeah, I know. I helped him last time. A lot of good that did. He just stayed right there. He's so simple-minded. He's stupid. He's not thinking. We have to be careful that we don't do that in this body. Because just like we all have smashed our thumb more than once, sometimes some of us have self-inflicted pain. And we have to be careful that we don't, there they go again. A lot of good it did helping them the last time. It's not going to do any good this time. We have to be careful about that. Because that's not the body working as God designed it to work, is it? At the end of verse 26, Paul says that if one member of the body is honored, the whole body rejoices. So not only if someone is pained, we should flock around them to comfort, to love, to help as we can, as God enables us to. But when someone gets honored, we should rejoice with them. If a Sunday school teacher, for instance, is honored, the ushers aren't supposed to stand back there across the back of the room sulking, become jealous because they never get honored. They never have Usher Appreciation Sunday. Do you guys want that? We'll do that. How about Diaper Changer Appreciation Sunday? How about honoring the custodial crew? How about just honoring everybody? Now, wait a minute. We have a Sunday School Appreciation Sunday here, not necessarily to appreciate our Sunday school teachers. But it's a commissioning service. I believe that's what I call it. It is them making the commitment to fulfill this position of faithfully teaching the Word of God each week. As far as honoring people, I'm probably bad about that. And I should maybe God will work on me some. But when it comes to honoring people, we're here to honor God on Sunday. So, I mean, if we honor someone, okay. And if we honor someone and someone else gets upset because they weren't honored, well, I'll try to empathize with you, okay? But we're here to honor God. Several years ago, at another ministry, I had we had someone visiting that day who used to come to the church, and they used to come to the church for a long time, and they had moved away, and they were really special in a lot of people's eyes. I got raked over the coals because I didn't have them close the service in prayer. I did not honor them. Well, I tried to be kind and sympathetic, okay? But I just explained, we're here to honor God, not any one person. But Malachi does say you get what you honor. So we do need to honor that which we would like to see perpetuated. If a Sunday school is honored and someone else is jealous that they're not being honored, that's wrong. We should rejoice when someone is honored, even if we never get honored, because we're all part of the body. As I look across this room today, I see every one of you honored some part of your body. When you looked in the mirror, fixed your hair, painted what needed to get painted. There's nothing to comb, and you shined your head, you know. Okay, now I don't mean to be graphic or disgusting here, but how many of you cared for your toenails this morning before you came to church? What? You honored this part, but not that? See, and that's how silly it can be in a church sometime. Does your toenail complain because you didn't pay him any attention this morning? Doesn't even think of it, because it's all part of the same body. When one part of the body is honored, the whole body is being honored. That's how a church body should be. So let's kind of bring this all in and see what are we supposed to do with this, okay? A pretty easy or obvious starting point is this. You should get into the body if you're not. God wants you to be a part of a local body of believers called a church. We'll not have the time to document it today as far as all of the mandates in God's Word about that. We've done that recently. But membership in a local church is biblical, and it's something that you need as a Christian. God doesn't want you unattached from the body. In the natural world, something that gets unattached from the body dies. Suppose one of your fingers is cut off. It must be reattached quickly, or it will die and not be able to be reattached. In the same way, my friend, if you're not vitally attached to a local body, your spiritual life will shrivel up. That's just the way God designed it. Now, my second thought is this. As members with other members, you should value the diversity within the body. Value the diversity within the body. That means that you are not going to do it the way I would have done it. And that's okay. Took me many years to come to that point, folks. And you are not going to do it the way someone else might do it. And you might even be working together. But that's okay. We value the diversity among us. Love and appreciate and value those of different backgrounds, different personality types, different rank, different socioeconomic levels, different spiritual gifts, different perspectives on debatable issues. Folks, in Christ, we're all part of one body, and so should it be within the local church. Third thing is this. Recognize your importance in the body. No matter how new, how young, how old, how used, whatever. Recognize your importance. Everyone in this body has a place, including you. And you need to be in the body. Faithful to the body. Wouldn't it be a joy to wake up some morning and just wonder, well, I wonder if my heart's going to show up to work today. Sometimes I feel my brain didn't show up for work that day. But the parts are always there and they're always doing their thing for the most part. Faithful to the body. That's where we need to choose to be. We're going to be faithful and we're going to be functioning in the body. Being in your place, doing your part. You might say, well, my part's not very important. There's no such thing. No matter how seemingly small or insignificant or unseen you think your part is, you are in the body that makes you vitally important to this body. For instance, folks, every week, different people come and they clean this building from top to bottom. What would we do without them helping in that way? Well, that's what we pay you for, preacher. Get her done. Now, I realize that some of you may walk through the building and see things that you have maybe cleaned differently. And your opinion about that is important. Please see me afterwards. We have some slots open on Thursday morning. You can come and show us how to do it, right? What would we do without them helping? By the way, we can always use more helpers in the cleaning department. Always. Every week our choir cuts their nap short to be here for practice while y'all are still sleeping if you take naps on Sunday. Each week we have teachers and Bible study leaders that do Bible studies during the week that most of y'all don't even know about. And we have teachers, helpers that are preparing for their classes. Praise God for the many people who are not only willing to teach and help, but who spend countless hours during the week preparing so they can rightly divide the word of truth as the Bible commands them. Every week we have a team of nursery volunteers who watch our littlest ones so we can worship in here without the uncontrolled outbursts of noise and smells. Aren't they wonderful? We love them being where they're at, watching those children and providing a safe place for our children to be watched. By the way, we need as many volunteers as possible so that no one has to work in the nursery more than one service a month or even once every 2 months. That would be perfect. We're not there yet. Well, I don't know if I can watch children. Okay, if your child brought your grandchild over, would you watch it? Or you say, well, I just don't know if I can watch my grandchild today. You'll have to take him away. Oh, come on. I don't know any grandma that would say that. We can always use more help in that area. Every week, folks, every week we have people who take their time before church starts and long after church starts, when you're just about finished up with your meal, they're just getting back from taking people home on the bus ministry. Picking people up and taking them home. Every week we have people that take some of their time on Thursday or Saturday mornings to go and make visits for people. But Pastor, you're the paid professional. I could probably give you a list of about 30 names right now that I could go visit. And if I passed a paper around the room here and asked every one of you to write someone down there that you think I need to go visit this week, and I promise you I'll do it, I would probably get a list of at least 50 different names. And here's the thing. Every one of you has your guy. Your guy that you think the pastor needs to go and visit because he's got magical powers. And if he goes and visits versus you go and visits, there's like more power when he does it. No, we're all members of the same body. Okay? But here's the thing. If I visited on everybody's guy this week, I would not be preaching Sunday. We'd watch a video of someone else preaching. That's where the body comes together to get the work of the ministry done. And every week we have individuals, a few, just a few, that will go and make those visits. And that's our Great Commission, folks. Every week we have, every service, we have anywhere from 3 to 5, sometimes 6 people manning our cameras, our audio, our live streaming feed with all the internet stuff that's going on right now. We have people at the door to greet you with a smile when you walk in. People that keep the church looking nice with the decorations. People that are willing to step outside of what is convenient for their schedules and show the love of Christ through our Safe Families ministry. All throughout the year, people are cutting the grass, maintaining the landscaping. They do building and ground maintenance and a number of other things around the church. And thank God for every one of them. Listen, you are important to the church body. Do your part. If you don't have a place of service yet, find one. Do what you can for God. Do whatever it is God puts you in this church to do. In other words, get in the body, find your place of service to keep the body healthy and strong, and get busy doing just your part, because that's all that God asks of us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, as we close this time here this morning, God, we thank you for this body that we call Grace Baptist Church, not the building, but this collection of people here, Lord. And my, how you have blessed the work that has gone on here over the years. God, we want to remain blessable. We want to continue to do our part. And God, I pray that you would just speak to people's hearts this morning. Show them, Lord, what their part should be. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's, I need to be in the body so I can start doing my part through the body. God, I pray that as a church, we would be right when it comes to being members one of another, that we would be unified as one body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'll ask the instruments to play. God has laid it on your heart to be part of this body. I would invite you to step out from where you're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Meet me here at the front. Say, Pastor, I want to be a part of this body. Maybe it's, Pastor, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I need to know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I just need to see what the Bible says about that. Let us show you from God's Word. My friend, are you fulfilling your part in the body? Do you believe that you're a unifying influence in our body? Is there something you need to do? Something different? Something to recommit yourself to? Would you do that this morning?
Give us in your word. God, I pray that when we leave here, share it would not have just been instruction, but that it will become a way of life, that we will do the truth that we've heard here today. We give you the honor for it. In Jesus' name.